On November 9, 1966, Paul McCartney of the Beatles was involved in a car accident and was pronounced dead. The powers that be had decided to cover up the incident. We have to remember that this came at a time before the internet and social media and was much easier to do. At the time, the Beatles were the hottest act in the world, generating billions of dollars. Thousands upon thousands of people's livelihoods relied on them, from people who worked in the record plants to people who worked in factories producing Beatles merchandise to concert promoters right up and to the top brass. The remaining Beatles had decided to break up and pursue solo careers, but were spun stories about young hysterical fans committing suicide and that the world was not ready for such a catastrophe so soon after the JFK assassination. The remaining Beatles reluctantly agreed to go on. Enter one, William Campbell. Now, William Campbell was always thought to be a person who won a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. But after spending some time in Liverpool in 2012 and speaking to a lot of people, apparently William Campbell had been known to the Beatles. He had been in a Beatles cover band that played around Liverpool. He had worked as a double for Paul on the film A Hard Day's Night, and he'd even worked as a decoy for Paul when Paul needed help getting in and out of places. The people whom I had spoken to said that William Campbell was almost a spitting image of Paul, except he had a flatter nose and a more pronounced chin. He also sung like Paul, except in a slightly lower register. The only trouble with William was he couldn't write songs, but that would be taken care of by John and George. And the recordings and songs that Paul had left behind. William underwent surgery, correcting his nose and chin. By the end, he looked almost identical to Paul. An acting coach was also hired to teach William Paul's mannerisms. This proved difficult. When the other Beatles asked William how it was going, he replied, "It's getting better." But the other three Beatles didn't think it was getting better. And since Paul was their front man during live shows, they decided to cease touring. Now, John, George and Ringo had promised never to breathe a word about Paul's death. But secretly, amongst themselves, they decided to leave clues. The first clues came in the form of their very next single, Strawberry Fields Forever. Strawberry Fields was an orphanage in Liverpool, next to the graveyard where Eleanor Rigby was buried. In the first lyric, John sings, "Let me take you down to strawberry fields, nothing is real," a reference to the fake Paul. He later sings, "Living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstandings all you see," a clear reference to the dead Paul and the new Paul and the confusion that the situation has caused. In later lyrics he sings, "It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me," which is a direct reference to the difficulty that William had and stepping into Paul's shoes. But the most telling clue of all is right at the end of the song. When it's fading out, John can be clearly heard saying, "I now bury Paul." Next came the album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The name itself is the name of a fake band, the way the Beatles were feeling. In fact, George wanted the name The Beatles taken off the cover altogether, but EMI wouldn't allow this. The cover depicts a funeral scene, mostly attended by dead celebrities. There is a shot of the Beatles when they were the Fab Four. Paul is consoling a crying Ringo. There is also a flower arrangement in the shape of Paul's bass guitar, showing whose funeral it really is. Now, we all know a bass guitar has four strings, but this one has three, symbolizing that one is missing. If you hold up a mirror to the words "Lonely Hearts," you will see that in Roman numerals it has 1119, the date of Paul's death, and next to it the words "He die." There is a doll wearing a shirt that says, "Welcome, the Rolling Stones." This is because the Rolling Stones, who were close friends with the Beatles at the time, were the only ones outside the Beatles' inner circle who were invited to the funeral. Next to the doll is a bloodied driving glove, a remnant from Paul's accident. Inside the gatefold sleeve, there is a picture of Paul. He has a black patch on his uniform. He has the letters OPD, officially pronounced dead. On the back of the cover, there is a picture of the Beatles. Paul is the only one with his back turned. This symbolizes how the Romans buried their emperors face down, as to prevent evil spirits from entering their mouths and infecting their soul. There are many clues contained inside the songs. Let's look at the track "She's Leaving Home," supposedly about a girl who's running away with a man from the motor trade. The man from the motor trade was a friend of the Beatles named Terry Doran, the man who gave Paul the car in which he had his fatal crash. The song wasn't really about a runaway girl, but about Paul leaving the Beatles. The song's lyrics, "She, we gave her most of our lives, is leaving, sacrificed most of our lives. Home, we gave her everything money could buy. She's leaving home after living alone for so many years. Bye, bye." In George's song, "Within You and Without You," he sings, "We were talking about the space between us all and the people who hide themselves behind a wall of illusion, never glimpse the truth, then it's far too late when they pass away." He then goes on to say, life flows on within and without you. Meaning that they were the Beatles with the real Paul, and now they are being forced to be the Beatles with a false Paul. The song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was thought to be an acid-fueled song about LSD. Hence the initials Lucy L Sky S Diamonds D. But Paul, who was obsessed with Little Richard, used to sing Lucille in class. In fact, he sang it so often that he earned the nickname Lucy. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is John's acid-fueled vision of Paul in heaven. There is one song on the album that tells the story of Paul's death. It's called A Day in the Life. The lyrics read, "I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. Of course, the House of Lords were the Beatles." Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, The Eulogy to the Dead Paul, is not only considered the Beatles' masterwork, but has constantly been voted the number one album of all time for over 50 years. The next single was a song called All You Need Is Love, which was broadcast by satellite all over the world. If you listen closely to the end, William Campbell sings, "He's dead. We loved him. Yeah, yeah, yeah." The B-side to the song was a song about William Campbell. It was called Baby, You're a Rich Man. In the lyrics, it poses the question, how does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? The chorus goes, "Baby, you're a rich man, baby, you're a rich man, baby, you're a rich man too." The next single was called Hello Goodbye, a blatant hello to William Campbell and goodbye to the dead Paul. In the song, William sings, "I don't know why you say goodbye, I say hello." But it's the B-side of the single that is more interesting. The song is called I Am the Walrus. The walrus being an ancient Greek symbol for death. At the beginning of the song, John mocks the Beatles myth and pokes fun at how interchangeable the members of the Beatles really are. He starts with the riddle, "I am he, as you are he, as you are me, and we are all together." Later, he pokes fun at the police who was so easily bribed into covering up Paul's death. He sings, "Mr. City Policeman sitting, pretty little policeman in a row. See how they fly like Lucy in the sky. See how they run. I'm crying." In that verse, John also references Lucy in the Sky, which we all know is John's vision of Paul in heaven. John added to the song a dramatic reading of Shakespeare's King Lear from a BBC production. The words included from the play were, "Upon the British, O untimely death." And what? Is he dead? Sit you down, father, rest you. At the end of the song, the walrus, a metaphor for Paul, is dead. The next clues come on the cover of the album Magical Mystery Tour. The walrus again makes an appearance. The name The Beatles is written in stars. If you turn the album upside down, the stars reveal a telephone number. Back in the day, if you dialed that number, you would hear a recorded message. The message said, "He is missing. He is missing." The second song on the album, The Fool on the Hill, is about Paul's gravesite in Anfield Cemetery, Liverpool. Ringo chose the site on top of a hill because he said it has a good view of the sunset. The song's lyrics begin with, "Day after day, alone on a hill." The lyrics to the song are from the perspective of Paul laying in his coffin. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. In George's song, Blue Jay Way, the lyrics are about his friends who have lost their way. His friends, of course, are the other Beatles. In the song, George sings, "Please don't be long. Please don't you be very long." He repeats those words 29 times. If you play those words backwards, they say, "Paul is bleeding out." On November 28, 1968, the Beatles released their self-titled double album, which would be known as the White Album. Its plain white cover was a direct contrast to the convoluted artwork on Sgt. Pepper. There were no clues to be found. The general thinking at the time was that the clues may have stopped. The album came with a poster, a montage of Beatles pictures. And if you look closely, there is a photo of Paul lying on a slab in the mortuary. And curiously, there is a picture of William Campbell, pre-operation, wearing his glasses, a picture from when he was a civil servant. Most of the songs on the White Album had been written in India while the Beatles had embarked on a spiritual journey with the Maharishi. The Maharishi had told the Beatles that through spiritual meditation, they may be able to contact the dead Paul on a higher plane. There is a treasure trove of clues on many of the album's tracks. John had three tracks where he directly named Paul, but was convinced to remove his name on two of them. Let's take a close look at those tracks. The first one, Dear Prudence, was supposedly about Mia Farrow's sister, who had locked herself away inside of the Maharishi's camp. But in reality, John, who had been meditating for days, trying to spiritually contact Paul, had written the song about him. The original title was Dear Paul. If we replace the title Dear Prudence with the original title Dear Paul, we have a better understanding. The lyrics read, Dear Paul, won't you come out to play? Dear Paul, open up your eyes. Dear Paul, see the sunny skies. The wind is low, the birds will sing, that you are part of everything. Dear Paul, won't you open up your eyes? The next song was a song called Sexy Sadie, supposedly about the Maharishi. The story goes that John was forced to remove the Maharishi's name from the song in fear of a lawsuit. So he came up with a name that rhymed with Maharishi, Sexy Sadie. But the truth of the matter is that there was a better rhyming name, Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, Sexy Sadie. If we replace the name Sexy Sadie with the original title, Paul McCartney, the lyrics read like this. Paul McCartney, what have you done? You've made a fool of everyone. Paul McCartney, you broke the rules. You laid it down for all to see. You laid it down for all to see. Paul McCartney, you broke the rules. Later, John sings, Paul McCartney, the greatest of them all. For some reason, John was allowed to keep Paul's name in a song that contained the most vital clues of all. That song was called Glass Onion. Looking through a glass onion was a metaphor for seeing a distorted world, a world where things weren't what they seem. The lyrics read, I told you about Strawberry Field, you know, the place where nothing is real. This is a reference, as we know, to the fake Paul. John later makes a reference to Paul's grave. He says, I told you about the fool on the hill. Man, he's living there still. But perhaps the most telling clue of all clues lies in the lyrics. I told you about the Warris and me, man. You know how we're as close as can be, man. Well, here's another clue for you all. The Warris was Paul. Now, we all know that at the end of the song, I am the Warris dies. But the most interesting fact about all of this is that John actually says, here's another clue for you all. This is the Beatles admitting they were leaving clues about Paul's death. George also left some clues. He was inspired to write one of his greatest songs while looking down at Paul in his open casket. The song is called While My Guitar gently weeps. The lyrics read, I look at you all, see the love there that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. He later sings, I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. A reference to how they replaced him with William Campbell. George believed that during his meditations at the Maharishi camp, he had made contact with the dead Paul on a spiritual plane. He recalls this experience in his song, Long, Long, Long. The lyrics read, it's been a long, long, long time. How could I ever have lost you? It took a long, long, long time. Now I'm so happy I've found you. So many tears I was searching. So many years I was wasting. Now I can see you, be you. How could I have ever misplaced you? Even Ringo left a clue on the White Album. Ringo was the one who took it the hardest. After all, Paul was on his way to see him when he had his accident. When he heard the news, he was in total denial. He didn't believe it. He thought it was a joke. Eventually, he was convinced by John and George to come down to the morgue. He still thought it was some kind of trick, but what he saw would shock him for the rest of his life. There, lying on a slab, was Paul's lifeless body with his head shaved due to his head injuries. Ringo wrote about it in his song Don't Pass Me By. The lyrics read, I'm sorry that I doubted you. I was so unfair. You were in a car crash and you lost your hair. I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive. I listen for your footsteps, but they don't arrive. And the chorus, don't pass me by, don't make me cry, don't make me blue. Now at the time, there was a man hanging around the Beatles' inner circle. His name was Alex Martis, better known as Magic Alex. He had convinced the Beatles that he knew a psychic who could get them in touch with the dead Paul. The surviving Beatles agreed to a seance, but not William Campbell, who at the time was starting to believe that he was the real Paul. They attended a seance at midnight and had come away believing they had really contacted Paul. They were happy to have Paul's blessing. But a few weeks later, the psychic turned out to be a fraud. Ringo broke down in tears. John wrote a song about it. The song is called Cry Baby Cry. The lyrics read, at 12 o'clock, a meeting round the table for a seance in the dark. Voices out of nowhere, put on specially by the children for a lark. Cry baby cry, make your mother sigh. She's old enough to know better. So cry baby cry. Now some may query where the Beatles got the idea to put backward messages in their songs. John was a fan of the occultist Aleister Crowley. In fact, he was so obsessed with Crowley that he insisted Crowley's image appear on the album Sgt. Pepper. Crowley appears in the back row of the cover, second from the left. In his book, Magic, Book 4, Crowley told the reader how to travel back in time. This was called the Law of Reversal. John's idea was to travel back in time to save Paul. So he practiced the Law of Reversal. The Law of Reversal states that if one wants to travel back in time, he must train himself to think backwards by external means as set forth here following. A. Let him learn to write backwards. B. Let him learn to walk backwards. C. Let him listen to phonograph records reversed. D. Let him practice speaking backwards. And E. Let him learn to read backwards. Placing backwards messages on recordings is called backmasking. This brings us to our next two songs. At the end of the song, I'm So Tired, John can be heard mumbling. When played backwards, it sounds like Paul is a dead man. Miss him, miss him. Which brings us to the track Revolution Number 9. Number 9 sounds a lot like November 9, the date of Paul's death. And when played backwards, it sounds like Turn Me On, Dead Man. The words Turn Me On, Dead Man are repeated over and over. In fact, the whole song was meant to be played backwards. When done so, you can hear the screech of a car and a car accident and the car bursting into flames and someone calling for help. All the while, the repetition of Turn Me On, Dead Man is repeated endlessly. After the car crash, a choir can be heard as if at a funeral. This is followed by people screaming. Orchestral music is played to the sounds of beeping horns, screeching tires, and people screaming in pain. A crying voice can be heard moaning, Paul, Paul, Paul. This is followed by laughter and a woman's voice saying, Satan, look at me. The Beatles' White Album would go on to be their biggest selling record of all time and regarded by many as their true masterpiece. The next album was Yellow Submarine. On the cover, John is holding his hand above Paul's head, his fingers displaying the occult symbol of death. The symbol is now common in heavy metal culture, but at the time, only known to occultists. The Beatles are standing on top of a hill, buried in the middle of the hill, is the Yellow Submarine, a metaphor for Paul's casket. In the track, It's Only a Northern Song, George gives us some clues about the disharmony inside of the band. If you're listening to this song, you may think the chords are going wrong. If you're listening late at night, you may think that the band are not quite right. If you think the harmony is a little dull and out of key, you're correct, because there's nobody there. Abbey Road was the last album to be recorded, but the second to last album to be released. There is a photo of the Beatles crossing the road. John is at the front, dressed in white. This symbolises the preacher. Ringo is behind him, dressed in black, symbolising the undertaker. Paul is barefoot. This is how Indian and Tibetan cultures bury their dead. In the background, there is a Volkswagen car with the number plate 28 if. Paul would have been 28 if he had survived. On the first track, Come Together, John counts the remaining Beatles in the lyric, one and one and one is three. The song, The Sun King, was about William Campbell. Now, William thought that he was the secret to the Beatles' success. It had all gone to his head. After all, hadn't he played on their most famous albums? He thought that the Beatles couldn't have gone on without him. The Sun King was Louis XIV, a French king. His reign was supposed to be the most prosperous of all kings. That's what William thought about himself. The song, The Sun King, was John's sarcastic dig at William. But it didn't stop there. By this time, George and John were sick of writing songs for William. So George Martin had to dig through old sessions from Rubber Soul and Revolver and find little tidbits and half songs to sew together with John's songs to complete side two of Abbey Road. The Beatles weren't happy with side two of Abbey Road. They thought it sounded disjointed. But once again, they fell on their feet. Side two was hailed as a revolutionary masterpiece. The song Carry That Weight was about the guilt that the Beatles would carry for the rest of their lives. The lyric reads, "Boy, you're gonna carry that weight a long time." The last album released was Let It Be. There were four separate pictures of the Beatles. All the surviving Beatles had a black background. Paul had a red background. Paul was bleeding out. By this time, fans and journalists had picked up on the clues, and William, in particular, was worried. In the song, I've Got a Feeling, he sings, "I've got a feeling that keeps me on my toes, oh yeah. I've got a feeling that everybody knows, oh yeah." Later, the lyrics read, "All these years I've been wandering around, wondering how come nobody told me. All that I was looking for was somebody who looked like you." Even though William was very highly paid, he was seeking a full partnership in the Beatles. This particularly irked George. George wrote a song about it called I, Me, Mine. The lyrics read, "All through the day, I me mine, I me mine, I me mine. All through the night, I me mine, I me mine, I me mine. Now they're frightened of leaving it. Everyone's weaving it, coming on strong all the time. John was becoming more brazen with his clues. In the song Dig It, which is about Paul's burial, he lists the people who knew about it. Like a rolling stone, like a rolling stone, like the FBI and the CIA and the BBC. In the song Dig a Pony, he says, you can imitate everyone you know. After the album Let It Be, the Beatles, who had grown tired of the situation, had decided to break up. But that wasn't the end of the clues. Originally, William Campbell, who had agreed, should the Beatles ever break up, would announce his retirement and disappear. But William didn't disappear. He hired some of the biggest hit makers of the time and decided to pursue a solo career. It is rumoured that Boyce and Hart, the songwriting duo that wrote many hits for the Monkees, had been hired to write for William. They wrote a single called Another Day under the McCartney name. John was incensed. Already on his debut solo album, in the song God, he wrote the line, I don't believe in Beatles. His album, Imagine, was riddled with songs directed at William. The song, Give Me Some Truth, reads, I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. Another song titled Crippled Inside contains the lyrics, one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. But it was the song How Do You Sleep that captured the public's imagination. The song contained a direct message to William. The lyrics read, those freaks was right when they said you was dead. The one mistake you made was in your head. He then goes on to have a dig at William and his songwriting team, and notes the difference between William's songs and the real McCartney songs. The only thing you done was yesterday, and since you've gone, you're just another day. Later he sings, the sound you make is muzak to my ears. You must have learnt something in all those years. How do you sleep? How do you sleep at night? Years later, William recorded a song called My Brave Face, which included the line, I've been living a lie. The last clues came in 1995 when the Beatles released the song Free as a Bird for the anthology series. They had gone back to their old tricks and dug up a song that John had recorded before his death. The song was called Free as a Bird. There is a clue in the film clip for Free as a Bird about Paul's death. In the film clip, it shows Paul's car accident. At the end of the song, the Beatles had included backmasking. John can be heard saying what sounds like, "My name is John Lennon." "Free as a Bird" was remixed in 2015 and the backmasking was played forward. And what can be heard is John saying, "It's good, isn't it?" This is a message from the Beatles, telling us that they deliberately put in backward messages and could make them sound like anything they wanted. Did McCartney really die on November 1966 in a car accident? Or are all those clues just a bizarre coincidence? There are only few people remaining that really know the truth. You've been listening to Tomorrow Never Knows, a Beatles podcast. Join us on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and a host of other platforms.